Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, generously, as he does each week, commenting on six capitals, 6 points of view in Ukraine conflict, year two. On the eve of the counteroffensive, says President Zelensky of Ukraine, fog of war, nothing is confirmed, nothing can be confirmed. You make a plan, and when you meet the enemy, you make a new plan. So,
yes. There
is no commitment here anywhere. We're just reading the news and repeating what the news is telling us. Why do they want us to know this? I don't know. No one knows. That's why we now go to D.C., where the opacity of Moscow is matched by the war effort of the Biden administration. It seems to be spending all of its anxiety in the Pacific while the front lines are engaged in Ukraine. Professor, I think we can realize that it would be not only a tragedy, but a major blow to the United States if Ukraine falls to Moscow's invasion. And yet it would appear that all of the energy of the administration now is directed west over the Pacific to Beijing. Am I misunderstanding this? Or what is D.C.'s point of view about Ukraine on the eve of the counteroffensive?
Well, I don't have the gift of second sight or of discerning character or of reading the mind, but it is, I believe, that no one in Washington really knows what they're doing. None of them is prepared for the tasks that they are facing. And as a result, despite what may be their best efforts, they are failing to take into account the sorts of things that a more qualified person would. And one of the things, you said that it really would be a blow if Ukraine fell to Russia. You bet your life. People forget what the stakes of this are. If Ukraine loses, then Mr. Putin, who is a Chekist, I mean, he's the secret policeman, he's very strange mentally, he has delusions about Russia, but he has lots and lots of weapons, although there are gaps in his arsenal, will suddenly be the king of the hill. And the political influence of Russia globally will be pumped up once again. And this would be really a disaster for countries that don't want to be Russian satellites and that would like to be part of an alliance of free countries that's capable of defending itself. But I don't see, although I give the administration some credit for the alliances they've created, I would note that most of these alliances that I'm in favor of are in Asia, and they are focusing on Asia. I'm not sure why. There's a kind of maybe it's because Kissinger is still alive. I mean, there's a kind of an attraction. The fact that they keep going to China, thinking that China is going to solve this war, it's ludicrous. We'll say a little bit in a sec about what the situation in China is. But if you look at China's peace proposals, a two-year-old could do better. And this is all self-deception on our part. And we have not, I think that although the Soviet Union has been gone since 1991, a lot of the people, our professional people who deal with Russia, don't understand that even for Putin, there's a huge difference between Russia and the Soviet Union. And if I may relay one rather significant fact, Mr. Putin, I once asked a Russian, what about Putin's religion? He said, well, Putin doesn't really have a religion. He has a superstition. And there's a wonderful video that he did about a crucifix that he wears all the time. And he clearly, in some sense, he believes in it, although I'm not going to try to figure out what the nature of his faith is. But did you know that we have the patriarch of all the Russias, Kirill, his father was not a patriarch, but he was an Orthodox priest, and he baptized Putin when he was a child. And Putin would have been a child in Soviet times. And that was, lots of Soviets were baptized, many more than we're aware of, but it was still, that was not the high road to success in the Russian, in the Soviet state. But we have to do some more homework on what is going on in Russia. I don't think that Washington, I know what's taught in universities, and you know, you have General Milley has a PhD from Princeton. I know what they teach. So his PhD doesn't impress me very much. And the same goes for all of the other institutions of higher education. What we need are people with real experience of war. And there are probably more Americans who have that than there are Brits or French or Germans, but we don't have enough people who really understand what has to be done. And I think there is a danger that we're going to get in a political pie fight in Washington over nothing, and then we're going to let a decision of incalculable strategic consequences go against us owing to our lack of attention.
A detail, Professor. The president was keen on negotiating with Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, a so-called debt deal having to do with the Treasury. And the resolution was a compromise of compromises that we will revisit in 2 years in the next administration. In other words, no resolution. Also, the deal had nothing to say about the genuine troubles of entitlement and how entitlements are going to be forced to cut crudely unless they're managed somehow in the immediate future. None of that came up in the so-called debt deal. However, the president was extremely excited in this resolution and chose Friday night, within these last hours, to go on an Oval Office address to the nation. On a Friday night, you do not have a large audience.
No.
And address the nation saying, look at this, bipartisanship, we came together, we solved this. That Oval Office presentation, fine. The next day, the president had the signing ceremony at the White House and invited no one, no pens being passed out, no great ceremony. However, I note that there's never, to my knowledge, been an Oval Office address by the president about something as fundamentally threatening as the Ukraine war. Zelensky says we're on the eve of the counteroffensive, and the president is talking about a debt deal that is temporary, about as permanent as a popsicle. Isn't this
or a chocolate chip ice cream cone?
It's a puzzle to me what the president believes is a priority. He risks everything in Ukraine, and he talks about a deal that is no one believes is resolved.
Well, I think, actually, to be fair to the president, his Ukraine policy is far better than his fiscal policy. As you know, China is bankrupt and everybody's tutting that they've got too much debt. But in fact, the way that our national accounts are kept is no different than the Chinese, except perhaps there's less corruption in America. But we simply borrow, ad libitum, and never. There's something called generally accepted accounting principles. And if you and I want to start a company of sort of Mackinder associates that will help make peace with all of our worst enemies and peddle influence and so forth, we have to do our accounts according to generally accepted accounting principles. Otherwise, we're illegal. But Congress of the United States does not have to follow generally accepted accounting principles. So they can put together any kind of patchwork they want. And there's no one, they don't have to have a sum of how much debt we have, assets, liabilities, none of this. And we are, in fact, right now, before this new budget, we're paying 15% of our budget is being used to pay interest on U.S. bonds. That's too much. If you had a credit card and you were spending 15% of your income on paying interest on your credit card, your friendly credit counselor or somebody who cared about you would say, you've got to get rid of that. You've got to kill that debt. But we have become accustomed, really since the Roosevelt administration, to the idea that money is free. And I once asked a politician about this. I said, well, what are you going to do about debt? And they said, oh, there are all kinds of ways to handle debt. I said, all right, well, can you name one? And there was silence. The only way you can handle debt is to inflate it away. And the downside of inflation is that it destroys the country. So I think that we have an appalling mismatch here. If this were a serious war, it is a serious war, but if we had a really serious president of the quality, say, of Prime Minister Attlee of England, to take somebody that no one knows about, he would have an operations room. There would be daily press briefings. The prime minister or the president would appear once a week to give a crisp account of what was going on and then answer with just complete lucidity and clarity and candor the questions that the press had, and also speak to the Americans about why this was important. Now, Kennedy and Johnson administrations made the mistake of trying to fight the Vietnam War without admitting that it was going on. The result was that we lost. I think Ukraine has somewhat better leadership than South Vietnam did, but Ukraine is not a country without problems, and they're doing a remarkably good job. But we could certainly foul it up if we did a couple of things wrong.
Let's go to Beijing talking about debt. Just you've previewed Beijing, so we'll land there. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.